Huge thanks to the members of our youth group who have offered such great leadership in worship today. Thank you. And thanks to Valerie Francia, who leads our Ministry of Youth. She's gesturing to others as if she doesn't merit thanks. And thanks to Zan Morgan, who lends her own leadership to this ministry. And thanks to lay members of this congregation who are a vital part of that team. Let us pray. And now, holy God, in our hearing, let a living word break through by the gift of your Spirit. May our lives be awakened by it, turned by it, empowered by it, to live nearer to the way of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Most of us have known, in one way or another, some feelings of abandonment. Someone we love leaves us. We are deserted. Or they don't leave, but withdraw and grow distant emotionally, relationally. Or they die. And we are abandoned to the fact that we will never, ever see them again, and that our favorite face is really gone. An abandonment of any kind can be like a blow to the gut. And it can bring a great heaviness, like a stone you carry in your chest. Or it can carve an empty, aching space into you where the one who is gone used to be. It hurts to be left behind. Did the friends of Jesus feel it at all when he left them behind? And was it all the worse because he'd already left them once, yet wondrously reappeared to them, and only now he abandons them again, and now this time for good? He gathers them all together for this goodbye. But before he can even speak, out of their anxiety rises this question. Lord, is this when the kingdom of Israel will be restored? He is leaving and they're asking about Israel. They're asking about whether he goes to get rid of the Romans, to set Israel free and make it great again. As if he were the Messiah that they had always been hoping for, a Messiah he never had been. He says, it's not yours to know, none of your business. Only God is to know what will happen and when. So he's assured them of what has to be their ongoing uncertainty about all manner of things. And he's also telling them that their hope is too small. But he does add words that they don't expect. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. It will come upon you and you will be my witnesses, yes, in your country, but more to the ends of the earth. Then he leaves them. And let me suggest that you not get too hung up on the traditional imagining of how he left them. The image of him rising into the sky higher and higher, all the way up to heaven. That image is at best baffling, and at worst it's ludicrous. It's not even what the text says. The text does say that he was lifted over them. Then it says there was a cloud. A cloud took him. In a cloud of mystery, his friends lose him. And so have we. If we could see Jesus' actual face and hear his actual voice and look into those actual eyes, how much better we could do at living this life. But he's gone. We don't get to see. He is hidden in mystery. But do think of the wonderful news that the story is telling us. It is saying that God exalted this Jesus, meaning among whatever else, that the nature of Jesus, his character and commitments, his spirit, his kind of living has been lifted up over all that is. Vulnerability is enthroned. Nonviolence, radical acceptance, total forgiveness, self-giving love are enthroned. His truth is vindicated. And in the end, in ways we cannot yet imagine, love wins. Love rules. Doesn't seem likely, does it, that the disciples are feeling much of any of that when he goes away? More likely, they feel left behind. This awful reopening of empty space where he ought to have been, once was, and now is not. But Jesus had just spoken to them of that very emptiness, in particular of what would fill it up. He had said, you will receive new power. The Holy Spirit will come to you and you will receive power now. At the moment, they could not have imagined what that might mean. We know because we know what happened to them at Pentecost. It was a power to get over themselves. Power to be fearless. Power not to care what anybody else thought of them. Power of a new kind of shared strength and freedom. Power to speak to others in ways that others could comprehend. Power of a new and growing community, a boundary-breaking power. They didn't know anything about that power yet. All they knew was an empty sky and the emptiness that ached in themselves. And yet he had given the promise of what was to come and the instruction that they would need to wait for it. Jesus didn't give many answers. What he did give was power and the promise of more power to come. The Spirit's gift to the empty spaces. 3 years ago, Stacy preached on this text and pointed this out. When Luke's gospel tells the story of Jesus' ascension, Luke includes this line, "And Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up toward heaven." Then Stacy hammered it home with this. While he was blessing them, he left. It's the last thing he does before he goes. No final words, no actual goodbyes, but a blessing. That still will not stop. He is still doing it. Maybe this was the last thing that filled their vision, his beautiful, wounded hands lifted over them, blessing them, blessing them until he was gone from their sight, but blessing them still. And then she added, "And what if the leaving itself were part of the blessing? What if his departure, his fresh absence, was making space for them? Making space for their new purpose, making space for their new future. Because how do you live into a new uncertain future if your heart is too taken up with a past that is gone? Jesus had to go if they were to become his body, and they had to let him go if they were to find the Holy Spirit and be filled by the Spirit who would use them to change their world." For most of us, this is a pretty hard turn to make, and it's a slow turn to make, to discover that it's true, that the empty space is a holy space, that it's God's space to inhabit and to use. And of course, it is a foolish thought to have the hope that the hole that's left behind is going to get all filled up and healed over. What a betrayal that would be. But that space can be offered. And for those who will offer it to the love of God, there can be born within it new power or new purpose. The need of this is nicely depicted in our story. The left behind disciples are gazing upward to the empty space where Jesus had vanished from their sight. But then they see two men in white robes who put this question to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up to heaven?" That is, are you stuck on empty wishing to get back what you once had but won't get back? Are you looking for God to come down and fix it for you? Why do you stand there looking up to the sky? And with that, in the words of Barbara Brown Taylor, the disciples stopped looking up and started looking around. For Jesus had given them a new purpose in this world. And they were the ones who must do it with their lives where they are. And they had heard his promise that the Spirit would come to them and give them power to do it. And so, dear friends, with us, whatever losses we may have sustained, whatever aching emptiness we carry, whatever anxiety or dread we may have over what separations may still be to come, or whatever we think, however persuaded we are about our weaknesses and our uncertainty and incapacity, still we hold fast to the promise new power will be given, is being given. The hands of Christ are still lifted in blessing, and the blessing continues on and on and on. His way of love exalted and enthroned above this world and everything in it has crowned us with purpose. New, living, present purpose. And that love will not give us purpose without also giving us power to fulfill it.